Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
We're going back to the 90s. We might as well if we got Nick Seat. But let's put that aside. We got your calls, 800-919-3776. Did I add another seven? I don't even know. Too much caffeine right now. But we got your calls stacked, racked, ready to go. We will get there. You stay with us. We'll stay with you because with so much in New York City, we want to talk to New York City today. We want to talk to all of you because this is the best time in sports that we have had in a long time. But while we have that going on, when we have the basketball side of things, how about the football side of things, Bart Scott?
Yeah, man.
We have an NFL draft tonight to talk about. We will do that. We have Aaron after the press conference yesterday talking all about being a Jet, wanting to be a Jet for the duration and all that. We also have a very interesting story that has popped up about how they have worked his contract into things.
Yeah, because they were $6 million negative in the cap when they signed Aaron Rodgers with his current structure.
Right. So this is what Dan Graziano was talking about this morning on Get Up, and Rich Cimini has a story that outlines all of it. So before the trade was completed, the Packers, as part of the deal, converted a $58.3 million option bonus payable in 2023. They converted that into a 2024 base salary. This is what Graziano was reporting. So by doing that, Rodgers is making just $1.165 million this season, the base salary minimum. So they turned his contract into such where he's getting paid technically the minimum this coming season. Now, that's your cap charge. So his cap charge, your quarterback is costing you $1.165 million this season. Now, again, by doing this, and it's fully guaranteed, his 2024 compensation, Bart, is $107.55 million. That's something they're going to have to figure out, right? Like they're going to have to then restructure that. But
yeah,
it buys them time.
An extension.
Yes, but the key here is how it buys them time to worry about restructuring and maybe putting an extension on it to stretch it out. But it also then keeps them from having to make any tough decisions with their roster going forward right now. He fits right in to their system, yeah, to their setup.
Well, I think that still only gives them like 1 point. I forgot how much salary cap space that gives them. But remember, they still want to try and get Quinnen done. You want to get one of your young.
They are $7.4 million under the cap.
Right. So I think they still trim off more because they're going to have to keep like $3 or $4 million to sign their draft picks. They want to have some money for some other people. I keep saying all along, if they can't trade Corey Davis, that they might just outright cut him because then that gives them $18 million more underneath the salary cap. And then you can sign Quinnen Williams to a long-term contract. Get him in because he's not going to show up until he gets a new deal or unless the fines start coming. You want to keep this synergy going. It's time to make a couple of tough decisions, and that always happens, you know, when you have to pay your superstar. So I anticipate maybe that's a move that's going to be made. Even Carl Lawson, man. I mean, you have to ask yourself, Carl Lawson, $15 million. You know, if you can cut Carl Lawson and, you know, you expect Trayvon, Johnson, you expect him to be able to take the next step up, but you say, hey, I'm not too sure. You can cut Carl
when
Lawson.
You say Johnson, you're not talking about Ty. It's not Ty Johnson. He got hurt, right? You're talking about Jermaine Johnson?
Yeah, Jermaine Johnson.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Jermaine Johnson, right? So what I'm saying is you expect him to, you know, he was a first-round draft pick last year.
Right.
So you expect him to kind of step up. And, you know, you look at Carl Lawson, he's been good. He hasn't been great. You know, they signed him instead of signing Trey Henderson. Trey Henderson has basically led the league in sacks in Cincinnati since that. Now, a lot of that may have to do with them playing with a lead. But if you're trying to get creative to get money, you can say, you know, Jermaine Johnson's going to step up and be a better player this year. And we can save now, maybe $22 million underneath the cap, and now you got $29 million underneath the cap. You do that, and you can sign a player like Justin Houston, you know, who played well last year and who had 11 sacks, and let him play some downs and let him split time with Jermaine Johnson. So now you still have two exceptional players, and now you do that. Still got Yannick Ngakoue out there who's pretty much a pass presser. You already got Hughes that does that. But now you, this is where also you get creative because you want more space. And the number one thing is to get Quinnen $21 million a year, which is what Payne gets paid and Hargroves get paid. So that's his comp. Hargroves and Payne in Washington.
Okay. And Quinnen obviously did the sipping tea thing after Joe Douglas was heard
optimistic.
Saying that he's optimistic. Just to explain again the Rodgers thing, so the idea is you're pushing the option to next year. The bonus is fully guaranteed. The compensation for 2024 is 107.5, as we told you about, which consists of the original $47 million option bonus, and then you have the minimum salary just for this year. So,
yeah, but he has
once they exercise the $47 million option, they can spread that cap hit over the remainder of the deal, which technically runs through 2027.
Right.
And then you figure it out from there, you know, when, how much is he going to play? Is he going to play? Does he want to play another year? But I'll tell you what, Bart, when he spoke yesterday, not just at the press conference, but elsewhere, he did sound like somebody that while he wouldn't, and we said this too right after we were done with his press conference, is that he didn't want to make any promises. But listen to what he says to the K-Show when they asked him how sure he was that he would play beyond this season.
I want to play as long as it's fun. I want to play as long as I'm enjoying it, as long as my body can make it through. There's been a lot of changes in medicine and nutrition and diet and rehab and prehab and all these different modalities that people have done to stay active and to stay athletic. And, you know, I've been a proponent of all those things, and it's really helped me the last few years doing certain things to keep my legs and to feel like I'm strong throughout the season. And that's always a part of it. But I'm just honestly just focusing on this season right now. And the Jets did give a lot up to bring me in, and I'm fully aware of that. But, you know, right now I'm just going to focus on this year. And I'd like to play as long as I'm healthy and love it. And being back here with Coach Hackett, who always made every single day fun for 3 years in Green Bay, I think the fun part's going to be there. So it's just a matter of making sure my body is able to withstand the grind of a season. And we'll start with 2023 and take it from there.
What does that sound like to you?
Sounds like, hey, man, if we looking like we're trending in the right direction and it's fun and it's exciting, which living in New York and playing and walking around is really exciting when you're winning. And, you know, it's not about winning a championship, but that's the goal. But as long as you're winning and it's fun and it looks like you're on the cusp, you keep playing. Because it's nothing like the Knicks fans or Knicks players are figuring out. It's nothing like winning in New York and walking out to the grocery store or walking anywhere and everybody knows everybody. And they ain't going to bug you, but they're going to give you your respect.
He sounded like, I'm surrounded by people I like.
Yep.
So the fun part should be there.
Every day in practice is fun.
Yeah, that I think I'm going to enjoy this. He loves the city. He loves the energy of it. He talked about it on the K-Show as well, how he's going to make sure that he's going to enjoy the city during the offseason as much as he can because that's just what he's about. I think he's also talking about the give and take with media, how he's looking forward to the battle of wits and everything else and the intensity of the coverage. But I do think he's a guy that loves the spotlight. He loves the stage. I think this is something that is going to energize him. What he's smartly not doing is promising anything he can't keep because he did say, you know, as long as my body can handle it. And that's the reality that every player has. If something happens to me, can you see him trying to rehab from a pretty serious injury and say, oh, I'm going to come back at the age of 41? No. Like, if something significant happened to him, that would be the sign it's time to go. But if he's healthy, I imagine we're going to see him for multiple years as the Jets head coach. Now, with all that in mind, the trade is done. Now all the dust is settled. There's only one thing now that you can focus on if you're Joe Douglas. And that is tonight in the NFL draft. The Knicks have the Jets have the 15th pick now that they moved down from 13 as part of the pick swap with the Packers. The Giants have pick number 25. Mel Kiper and Todd McShay both put out their mock drafts, their very final ones. And it's very interesting that they both are sort of on the same in the same place with both these organizations. Let's start with the Jets. They have the higher pick. Kiper at 15 has I don't need to hide this. Both Kiper and McShay have the Jets going offensive tackle at 15, which we all believe is the way they want to go. Pete Skoronski, who is from Northeastern, who can play tackle and also guard, who's a very talented, very versatile guard. You've brought him up before. You comp him with Vera Tucker as far as the versatility of playing multiple positions on the line.
Yes.
If he's there at 15 like Kiper has him, projects him to be, that would be a tremendous get for the Jets. Now, McShay has Broderick Jones from Georgia, who's the big, strong left tackle who's been – he has not given up a sack. Like, you talk about a dominant tackle in college game. He is dominant. He has him going there to the Jets. Before we get to the Giants, your assessment of these two picks.
I mean, listen, they need – everybody knows that they need to protect Aaron Rodgers. They understand as well that Becton hasn't been healthy, that, you know, you think about Dwayne Brown, what he's dealing with coming back from the shoulder surgeries. He's an older player. It's all about being able to sustain the run game, being able to protect Aaron Rodgers. That is number one goal, because you know if you're able to do that with the receivers and the weapons that you added, whether it's Mecole Harmon, whether it's Garrett Wilson, whether it's Denzel Mims, whether it's Alan Lazard, Breece Hall, you're going to have opportunities to make plays, Conklin, make plays down the field, but it all starts with protection and being able to go through the progressions and being able to establish the run and not being a one-dimensional team against teams that can maybe take one thing away from you.
Now moving on to the Giants at the 25th pick. Now this feels like a pick where you're like 25. That's, you know, what can they possibly get there? But I'll tell you what, when you look at what both these guys are projecting, I love what Kiper has. So Kiper has the job. Both of them are going, have them going offense as well. Like, there were some mocks that had them going defense, maybe corner, but this is different now. So Mel Kiper has the Giants going for Jordan Addison, the wide receiver out of USC.
Yeah.
And once again, adding wide receiver talent is something that we have talked about that the Giants probably are going to need to do at some point. You know, whether it's through free agency or whether it is in the draft. And, you know, there's going to be a couple of wide receivers to watch here. But when you think about it, you want the versatility. Now, I don't know. I believe Addison is small, right? Is this – he's more of like the
he's a route runner.
Yeah.
He's a route runner, man. He's a guy. Listen, people.
But he's not the big target one.
You talking about TCU? I think the Giants dealt with that with guy from the Lions that they cut, Galladay. I think they dealt with that. It's about speed and explosive speed, and being able to, you know,
big
affect
yard
the game.
After catch guy.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and horizontal speed. You know what I mean? Drags and digs and stuff like that. You know. So I think they want to go with somebody like that, or like Zay Flowers. You know, I think, you know, he was considered one of the best route runners. I think they compare him to Steve Smith. Listen, because it's such a run, I think that's going to be on tackles. I think you're going to have a running back in there before receivers are taken off the board. I think it's going to be a run on defensive ends. You know, D tackles when you think about, you know, Jalen Carter. I think that it's going to be a lot of quality receivers where the Giants are picking at, and it just so happens that that's the position that they need to be able to be successful next year. They have to put some explosive players around Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones wasn't playing with enough, you know, high-quality receivers last year. I think for Joe Shane, that should be operation number one. Now, in my head, though, I also believe that it may be a run on cornerbacks. Because that's a position of need as well, right? Because you understand what they have in that division. Whenever they have to go against the Dallas Cowboys, whenever they have to go against the Commanders, when you consider, you know, the two studs. Everybody has two studs in this division. So if they have one of these corners ranked high, you know, a lot of people like this guy, Deontay Banks out of Maryland, you know, big, strong, physical guy, but also fast as well. You know, you got Emmanuel Ford from Mississippi. You got DJ Turner. I mean, he put on a show, I think like a 4.224, 4.29 from Michigan. So he's played some big-time football in a big program as well. Because, you know, those are two areas of need. I think receiver and cornerback are equally as important. I think they've done a good job in building an offensive line over the last couple of years. You think about Thomas. You think about Neil last year.
Yep.
You know that they're secure on the outside when you think about, you know, man, I don't know why I can't think of the kid from Oregon last year, man, the pass
Thibodeau.
Rusher.
Thibodeau.
Yeah, they got Thibodeau. They got Ojulari. You know they're solid inside. And it's going to be plenty of linebackers, you know, available in the second round for them to go get another linebacker. I know they addressed that in free agency, but you can never have enough linebackers and winks offense, defense.
Right.
But, you know, you know that you got Lawrence and Big Cat in the middle. So the positions of need for me, you know, is, you know, you can watch if the kid from Alabama, the safety from Alabama drops as well. But he may be gone before that. But I think definitely receiver, but you can't be upset or mad if they go cornerback, because within that division, they're going to have to be able to stop somebody. And Wink defense was really exposed a little bit because they had to take so many chances in blitzing. If you can get some, you know, they had to cut Bradberry because they couldn't afford him. Right? So so if they can get that done, I think they'll have an opportunity to go either way that way, and I think that'll be a great pick.
I think there, one name to watch where they are in their range might be Joey Porter Jr. out of Penn State. I mean, that's the one name you could see, because a lot of corners are going to be gone before they pick. Now, there's always the option of trying to trade up. But, you know, that's why, you know, you got Forbes you talked about as well, Banks from Maryland. Like, there's going to be a whole bunch of them that are probably gone.
Banks is big.
Yeah, but they don't expect the mocks don't expect those guys to be around after, you know, in the 20s. So you'd have to move up. But Porter Jr. is one option if they wanted to go that route. But a playmaker, you can never have enough of them, and Addison is certainly one of those out of USC. McShay, by the way, this is an interesting one that he went with. And it makes me want to question a little bit, because sometimes in these mocks, it's like they just put a player there because that's his value, but it's not necessarily the best fit. So, you know, the Giants just traded for Darren Waller, right?
Yeah.
So so McShay has them actually taking a tight end, Michael Mayer from Notre Dame.
Well, that's a different type of tight end.
And that's what he said.
That dude's a tackle. That dude is a road grader in this run game for Saquon.
Yes. Yeah, big after the – like when he catches the ball.
Yeah, but he's big.
Impossible to take down.
He's an old school guy.
Yeah, but also a big time inline blocker, which every team needs. And if you have a guy like Saquon Barkley, you'd love to have a guy like that.
But you can say to just defend him a little bit. You can say that Waller's basically a receiver.
Yes, literally, that's what he is.
So I mean, he does some tight end things by alignment.
So do you get a guy like this because you know that Waller's not? You don't want Waller out there as somebody that's going to block a lot, because you want to keep him healthy. So we get a tight end that can block, that's big and strong, but if we have to use him, like if we need him to leak out and catch, he's got hands, he can do it.
It gives you 6 and 7 man protection.
Like Algie Crumpler.
So it's weird. He's like Gronk, if that makes sense.
Like Mayer?
He's like Gronk.
Wow.
Like if that makes sense. Like he's not just a guy that just blocks. He's a guy, and Algie Crumpler used to get loose too.
Yeah.
He can catch and he can run routes. He can get open, and he gets open because he's so big that he can high point the ball. That's not a bad pick. That's not a bad pick at all.
Interesting.
Because you have to consider what the offseason was about. You know, the Giants have did a good job. You know, they bring in Paris Campbell. You know, he's a guy that was a first-round draft pick, I believe, for Indianapolis. You know, I mean, they brought him in. You know, when you think about Waller, it allows you to, because he is big enough to go Tiger personnel, and Tiger personnel just basically means two tight ends. But what that allows you to do is play the personnel game, because then teams have to match up and put a linebacker or a big dime on the field, and then you just remove Waller from the formation, and now you have him exposing, you know, a safety and not a cornerback who can't run with him and can't stay up with him. You know, so, you know, I think that'd be a good pick as well. So it'd be interesting to see what the Giants have, but they have options. But that's also giving you more protection for Daniel Jones, because now you basically have another tackle who's a tight end. You got a tackle eligible.
Exactly. That's essentially what he becomes. is somebody like that, that is obviously very strong when he can catch the ball and very difficult to take down, but really there to be a guy that can block and do a great job inside, where a lot of the skilled tight ends today, they're just not very good at that. Now, when I'm looking at McShay's mock, Quentin Johnson, I don't know, TCU's offense was lights out this year, and he was such a big target. And I just feel like for the Giants, if he's still on the board, there must be something they don't like about him if they pass on him. Over 6'3", a big body, 210.
He's not a route runner, though. That's the problem. He's not a route runner.
He's got downfield speed, and he's big, target.
But he's a plotter, right? He's like Mike Williams or something like that. They got Jeff Smith from Baltimore, from the Jets, right? He's 6'1". You know, they already have Darius Slayton, who's a burner. He's 6'1". You know, they brought in, Sterling Shepard's back. They have big receivers.
Okay.
You have Wandale Robinson, right? I just told you Waller's
a big receiver. He's a playmaker.
But I'm just saying, like, he's a playmaker. So you have Darren Waller, who's basically your big receiver.
True.
They have big receivers. Now they need guys that can be special. And, you know, when guys come and they're big, a lot of times they struggle because, remember Mike Williams from USC?
Yeah.
Like, struggle off getting off press. Right, and being able to create separation. And, you know, a lot of the yards in TCU was just because it was Max Duggan running the ball and everything was wide open. So I don't know if I particularly like him for the Giants.
Okay.
I think Zay Flowers, route runners, guys that are built in that CeeDee Lamb type of mold is what they're really looking for, guys that can run the whole route tree. And he's not a route tree guy. You know, he's a slant because he's a big body and he's a vertical guy. He ain't running digs. He ain't running 15-yard comebacks where he's able to transition and come out of his breaks and beat you to the sideline on comebacks.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Bart, it is right now time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio Files.
The Audio File.
I don't know if you heard this, but Aaron Rodgers is now officially a Jet. Yeah, the trade went down. It's done. He had a press conference and everything. He's got the jersey. And what is he doing today, Bart?
Throwing darts.
To who?
Alan Lazard.
So you mean he's actually throwing footballs in the offseason at a Jets facility?
Which is something in
Green Bay they're going like, really? Really?
Hey, man, they don't have an NBA team for him to go to playoff games.
Well, never mind. They're out of the playoffs now.
Exactly.
All right, so as it's going to stand in Jets history, and Jets fans will all probably say to each other, where were you when you heard that Aaron Rodgers was traded to the Jets? Well, how about one of the guys that did all he could publicly to convince Aaron Rodgers to come to the Jets? And that is Sauce Gardner. He tells the story on ESPN Radio.
I was in a barber chair when I found out it had popped up on TV, and my barber had tagged me. I don't know why, but like when I first looked up, I thought I seen my name. I thought I had got traded. Like, my heart had dropped a little bit. First thing I did, I had text A-Rod. I just texted and said, yes, sir. He was like, yeah, bro, it's on. See you soon. So, you know, I was just excited, and I'm sure he was as well.
How would he see his name up there? They traded draft picks.
Got glaucoma. I mean, he saw LASIK, man. He saw Elijah Moore got traded, so he didn't know.
Maybe. But still, I love the fact that, A, he texted him, so he's got his number already. B, see you soon. And they're all fired up for it. Again, the young players that are so excited about having him as a teammate and the swag that these guys have, all of it just feels like real good synergy right now. Meanwhile, synergy for the Knicks as they move on. They eliminate Donovan Mitchell and the Cleveland Cavaliers in five games. The gentleman's sweep completed last night in Cleveland. And afterwards, Donovan Mitchell talked about, well, life not being a Knick.
I just didn't deliver, you know, like I'm expecting myself to and my teammates and everybody expects me to. And like I said, I take that upon myself, man. Like, I gotta be better. Gotta be better. You know, everybody hates when I say that, you know, in the locker room, but it is what it is. You know, ultimately, I gotta be better for my guys, man. And
Bart, truth serum here. You're an athlete. You know how these things go. Is there a part of him last night that said to himself, that could have been me? I could have been celebrating. Is there a little part of him that just, because you know he said he thought he was coming to the Knicks, he wanted to be a Knick. Is there a part of him that's feeling a little jelly?
No, I don't think
like FOMO. Is he having, all right, does he at least have FOMO?
You turn the page, because once he got signed and he went there with his teammates,
I don't believe it.
He's saying, hey, I'm the reason why we didn't beat the Knicks. So I could have did more. I should have enforced my will more. Great players put that type of responsibility on themselves. Yeah, no matter what the issue is, no matter what the challenge is, they're able to step up to it. Those are the moments they live for. The moments like Jimmy Butler is living right now, when it's against all odds and you're the difference that comes up and people have to talk about your greatness. And Donovan Mitchell missed an opportunity because he just couldn't, one, get his team to play good enough. And that falls on him as the franchise player.
I think he has some. In his heart of hearts, in a quiet moment, little FOMO. A little bit. Just a little bit. Meanwhile, for the Knicks, though, let's just put a bow on this whole thing. Them beating Donovan Mitchell, shutting him down the way they did, and knocking the Cleveland Cavaliers out. Remember, it was months ago where the Cavaliers are the ones that swooped in and stole Donovan Mitchell from them in trade talks, right? And it felt like a major failure. And for the Knicks to exercise the ghost and beat him and move on because of their depth, that's a win for the Knicks organization that decided, we're not giving up our depth for this player. Think about it. This enthusiastically made it a correct decision. Even though for me, like I'd rather have the All-Star, but for the Knicks organization and that decision, this was a very critical result. It worked out for them. Moving on. They will now move on and play the Miami Heat in the second round of the series, the Eastern Conference semifinals. And so Jimmy Butler, after a phenomenal, I mean, just unbelievable, another comeback win over the Bucks in Milwaukee last night to jump into that second round series with the Knicks, talking with reporters afterwards, and we're trying to figure out, so when's game one?
Jimmy, with all you guys have been through this year, adversity, even this series, losing Tyler and losing Vic, all the close games, having to play in, losing the first play-in, what does it say about this team that you were sitting here now having defeated the number one seed, getting ready for national television at Madison Square Garden on Saturday?
Don't we play on Sunday?
Sunday, I'm sorry.
Look at you. Do your job.
Thank you.
I believe that was Iro Winderman, right? From
the guy that's on TV all the time?
Yeah.
I think with the gray hair?
No.
Okay, I thought you were the guy off around the horn.
But I was covered the Heat forever, and that was
crazy.
Fun. That was a fun back and forth. Do your job. Like, he's just messing around with him. He misspoke. Yeah. It is Sunday, obviously, 1:00, but do your job. Got to correct you all the damn time. It is Sunday at 1:00, though, and it still feels surreal. Got to be honest with you. All right, last but not least, one more time in the NBA. So as Jimmy Butler's celebrating the win, the Bucks are really, nauseating loss is probably the best way to describe it. The top seed, the team that everybody felt like had the best chance to get out of the East and win the championship because of how good they were playing down the stretch, how good their defense was all year, the championship DNA already on the roster, Giannis Antetokounmpo and how well he's been playing. It just felt like the Bucks were a team that you were going to have to get through to get to the championship. and they couldn't get out of the first round. And so the questions were asked that you have to feel to Giannis was this season a failure? And Giannis took the question personally and flipped it into a little bit of a life lesson. Take a listen.
Do you view this season as a failure?
Oh, my God. You asked me the same question last year, Eric. Do you get a promotion every year on your job? No, right? So every year you work is a failure. Yes or no? No. Every year you work towards something, towards a goal, which is to get a promotion, to be able to take care of your family, provide a house for them, or take care of your parents. You work towards a goal. It's not a failure. It's steps to success. I don't want to make it personal. So, there's always steps to it. Michael Jordan played 15 years, won 6 championships. The other 9 years was a failure? That's what you're telling me? No, I'm asking you a question. Yes or no? Okay, exactly. So why are you asking me that question? There's no failure in sports. You know, there's good days, bad days. Some days you are able to be successful, some days you're not. Some days it's your turn, some days it's not your turn. And that's what sports is about. You don't always win. And this year, somebody else is going to win. Simple as that. We're going to come back next year, try to be better, try to build good habits, play better, not have a 10-day stretch with playing bad basketball. You know, and hopefully we can win a championship. So 50 years from 1971 to 2021 that we didn't win a championship, it was 50 years of failures? No, it was not. It was steps to it, because you asked me the same question last year, and last year I was in the right mind space to answer the question back, but I remember it. Next.
Man, you talk about putting somebody in a place. Damn. But it's a valid question. It's a valid question, right? Like, they had expectations to be, you know, to be there and lose to Boston last year without Middleton being healthy, but then to come back and be the top seed and lose in the first round to a team that lost one of their best players. It's a valid question, but I understand and appreciate his response, because his response should come from him. But internally, I'm sure that people are, because it is a failure, people are going to be fired and changes are going to be made, which lets you know that it was a failure.
I love his answer as a life lesson, but I think it's a bunch of crap when it comes to his season. His answer is good when it comes to perspective on sports. I'm all for it, especially as a parent, kids who play sports, right? You want to understand failure. But to not acknowledge that your team failed is insane. It's ridiculous. And he's avoiding the question in that case. It's the right question to ask. In fact, I don't think you need to ask that question. I think it's obvious it was a failure. When you ask the question, though, you're asking it because you want the player to say it. You want the team's most important player to acknowledge that it was a failure. And for Giannis, he doesn't want to be put in that spot, because once he says it, he knows. He knows what's next. He knows that if you're in the hierarchy of the Milwaukee Bucks, you are looking at everything and saying, how could this happen? And usually you find the fault and that person's gone. Whether it's Chris Middleton, who's got an opt-out, Brook Lopez, whether it's decisions made with the roster, which, be careful, because if you don't build the roster properly around Giannis, Giannis might not want to be there anymore. But Mike Budenholzer is probably the guy that the crosshairs are on right now. And that's going to be something that we're probably going to hear about in the coming days or weeks. But they failed. They failed because the expectations for this team was a lot higher. So, Bart, you know, when an athlete says that, well, is it a failure if I don't win a championship? No, it is not a failure for you personally, because not every year are you a championship contender. Michael Jordan's years that he didn't win a championship, when was he a championship contender? In the 9 that he didn't, was he a championship contender for maybe 1 or 2 of them? Because before that, they weren't a very good team.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't until Scottie Pippen got there and Horace Grant. You know,
they were never that good of a team until the years they lost to, you know, Detroit, and they just couldn't get far enough. So, again, I think Giannis just didn't want to answer the question because he knows the answer is yes. It's definitely a failure, and it's okay to say it. It's okay to acknowledge failure without feeling like you are a failure. It's now, of course, like we say at the very beginning of our show, it's how many times you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Yeah, man.
And that's, of course, what Giannis and the Bucks have to do and everybody else that fails. Anyways, that's Audio Files. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you, Ray.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
So, all right, we got lots of calls that we want to get to. And Bart, believe it or not, we're flying through the show. And we are at a point now where the power hour is coming. And I feel like we got, like, I know the draft's happening. We got a lot of draft stuff that we got into. I feel like we got to get back into the Knicks conversation, though.
Yeah, man.
Like, I just feel like so many people want to talk about it that we got to give the people what they want, right?
Always. This is Burger King.
So right now, let's just get into a Yankees with the Pinstripe Report. And it's brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. And speaking of pain management, there was a little concern yesterday. I got a couple of texts from people saying, oh, no, Aaron Judge. I was like, what happened? No. And so yesterday they finished up their series with the Twins. Now they win the game 12-6. They blow them out. Aaron Judge's 31st birthday, he's sliding into a base. He gets tagged out, goes right to the dugout, down the stairs. And now immediately you're thinking, what happened? Like, oh, no, don't tell me that he is hurt right now. And so Aaron Judge, after the game, was then asked about a situation that was dealing with his hand.
Feeling good. No, we stayed in there, so it's no issues.
We stayed in the game for sure, but what made him run down the tunnel then? Because you scared everybody when he did that.
I was mad I got thrown out first off, you know, just trying to make something happen and, you know, get to third base for Riz so he can just kind of poke something to the right side. You know, I thought I had a good jump and getting thrown out is pretty embarrassing, you know, even on your birthday.
You know what, Bart? I don't need him to do things like this because everybody's heart rate just goes through the roof. I mean, he's too important a player that you'd think like any little thing. And especially with his, not recent, but his injury history, that the last thing the Yankees need with this offense, that it finally got on track yesterday, a little more aggressive that they were, but it's the last thing they need is another injury, especially to him, because he's gotten off to such a good start to this season.
Yeah, man, listen, and my agent texted me too. My agent texted me like, yo, Aaron Judge showed up while we were on the show. I'm like, wait. Yeah, I text me, he didn't text back like, oh, he okay. And it's one of those things that it's the biggest concern because, you know, we already see Stanton hurt. He's the leader, but not just so much what Judge does is on the offensive side, but what he does on the defensive side as well, man. He's one of the best outfielders in all of baseball. Mm-hmm. I mean, you saw him rob Ohtani. It was like child's play, man. He plays, and listen, you don't run on him, too. If it looks like it's close to him, you ain't trying to go eke out two bases. You're gonna hit the air brakes on first base, man. And that's what I love about, you know, Aaron Judge. He's a two-way player. Right, you know, you think about, you know, all the guys, these, you know, dynamic. Is he a Gold Glover? He's got to be a Gold Glover out there, right? He's got to have a couple Gold Gloves out there, man. And yeah, I'm gonna call him Rocket Arm. I'm calling him Rocket Arm. You know what I mean? Because he's outstanding.
The good news was he stayed in the game, and that obviously led to relief. But still, it's, you know, like the last thing you need is any type of injury to him. Good news is he said he was fine. And that is the Pinstripe Report. It is brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. For a pain-free life, visit samwellpain.com today. And you know what else happened that was, you know, also, again, it was after our show. We got word of it. Like, our friend of the show, we love Marley Rivera, and she's out.
Yeah.
They fired her for an altercation that she had. She used some choice words with another reporter who happens to be married to the vice president of communications for MLB. Which is interesting. apparently the Post reporting an interview that she had set up with Aaron Judge that the other reporter then showed up at the same time. And I guess she was arguing about, no, this is my time, not yours.
It's tough,
and
man.
She
it's
used
all
some
about,
choice
all
words
about
and got into it. And then next thing you know, Marley, who, like I said, she's been on our show a ton. We love her.
Yes.
But I guess we don't know the side of her that some people are talking about where she's very combative.
I mean, well, we understand. You've been in that industry, right? You understand,
trying to
get exclusives, trying to be able to get them, and how people not respecting your space and your time and what you believe you belong, that the time that belongs to you. You know, it can be tough, man. So
it's true. You know what, though? It's the thing with reporters, right? Is that first of all, it's a high intensity.
I've been involved in them, and I was just an interviewee. Like, yo, man, y'all need to go take this somewhere else.
You've seen those arguments?
Do you have about me.
Do you have a good story?
Well, you know, I got fined $10,000.
You got fined.
I got fined $10,000. I was about to kick this dude's ass because he was harassing the woman reporter reported me, man. He was just like, he had no compassion, no empathy. I was like, man, you a real jerk, man. Like, you sitting up here, and I had saw him make her cry earlier in the week.
That wasn't Kmart, was it?
Nah.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't Kmart, but it was the dude that barely has a media pass that don't even deserve one. The same idiot that asked me when I first got here, what would I do to fix the economy in Detroit?
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and then so I was about to put them paws on him. He started backing up, and he put his camera out. Then I hit him with the one finger salute, and you know, I got fined $10,000.
See, look at that. All you're trying to do is stick up for somebody.
Yeah,
and you end up getting fined. It cost you $10,000.
She was talking to me because my grandmother had dementia,
yes,
and her father was in hospice.
Mm-hmm.
And this dude come over, and she was like, "I wasn't talking to him about this. I was talking about that. I'm not interviewing him." I don't care. Like, hold up, bro. When somebody tell you that their father or this is they're in crisis, and you have no empathy,
you get a lot of people like that, man.
And this is a woman. Oh man, I got a problem with that.
Bart,
because when I see any woman, I see my mother, I see my sister, you know what? I got something for that.
Mm-hmm. This business has a lot of that, I never liked kind of being like associated to it, this entitlement. I never liked that. I used to always laugh how like the locker room's open, but there's nobody in it. There's no reason to be in a locker room, right? So just you don't need to be in the locker room if there's nobody there. And guys would sit there and just sit because they can be there. And you're like, well, what are you doing in here? Now I got to be in here because you're in here. And if something happens and I'm not here, like it's just that's the kind of stuff that just got annoying. But the worst part of it was if you were trying to talk to somebody and you're trying to record the conversation because whoever it is might be a low speaker or a deeper voice. And you're not trying to jot notes down because I always like to make eye contact. I didn't like to sit there standing on my notepad while somebody was talking to me. And somebody's yapping away about nothing else off to the side. And I'd be like, yo, zip it. Like, I can't hear anything. And then they would give you the attitude like, not my problem. Now it is your problem, son. Like, that's the kind of stuff that goes on in this business. So understand that. Well, I'm not trying to say that whatever happened with Marley was not her fault or that she was in the right. I'm just saying that understand this is it's a cutthroat business, especially if you can get an interview with Aaron Judge. And somebody else is trying to like get in on that action. Yeah, I mean, people will throw down for this stuff. It's valuable real estate.
Yeah, man.
But we love Marley. Sad to see her go.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.